sort of reframe yourselves. Now we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1, 1 through 8. It's about John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean Christian countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm honored to be with you today. One of the things that brings me greatest joy is having time to be with our congregations in times of transition. And so I'm especially glad to be with you. I know this is a challenging time, pastor transition and all. It's a custom for the presbytery executive to come and spend some time with a congregation after their pastor has moved on. And I guess Dick retired again. I offer today some thoughts about this congregation, McLeod, being on a journey, not unlike many we have read about through Scripture. Actually, there are lots of stories of journeys described in the Bible. I know you can think of a whole bunch. What about Moses and the people of Israel leaving Egypt for the promised land? Or the Apostle Paul traveling all over the place to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus? And of course, there was Jesus himself constantly on the move. Let's think about the pastor and church transition like a journey. How about a family road trip? You ever take one of those? A few? Those always go really well. You just pack a few snacks and some drinks. You set the GPS and off you go. You're looking for the ideal pastor. That's the destination. It'll be a short trip, I'm sure. GPS. The first time I used GPS term with a congregation that when I looked out over the people, they all looked like they were probably in their 90s. And I thought, maybe I shouldn't even say GPS. Maybe I should say AAA maps. They all knew what I was talking about, though. GPS. It's your navigation system, right? So let's take off this road trip. You get into heavy traffic right away on I-4, and you get frustrated because you're not getting very far very fast. You experience very long delays, and there's detours, and there's road construction, and you're getting this metaphor, right? Or you encounter heavy fog because it's early in the morning. And you can't really see where you're going. So just to be on the safe side, you stop at Cracker Barrel for breakfast. And you wait for the fog to lift. and then you can see. It's good. And then there's always somebody in the back seat who says, "Are we there yet?" Everybody in the car wants to listen to different music. But no problem, because today we have the technology that enables us to do our own thing. We just plug in those, you know, earbuds or headphones, and we plug it into our own source of music, and we all get to listen to our own song. We don't have to hear anybody else's. It's like being on your own private road trip. Well, while we're on our own private road trip, listening to our own music, we notice cars and trucks are just whizzing past our car. We're going to speed limit. So what's up? You know, I mean, that happens all the time to people. So we just encourage the driver to speed up a little bit, you know, keep up with the flow of traffic. Well, then we get anxious because we're getting a little too close to the cars in front of us. Maybe we should back it down a little bit. Backseat drivers at their best. And are we there yet? And are we lost? 2 miles after passing a rest stop, you know what happens. Someone needs to take a nature break. But the next rest area is 65 miles. So everybody has to keep an eye out for a McDonald's at some exit along the way. Get back on the road, and then you encounter a billboard that's advertising something really exciting. Didn't know about it before. Maybe it's something we should stop and explore together. So we exit. And we follow the signs to this new thing. And all the while, the GPS voice is saying, make a legal U-turn as soon as possible, because it clearly thinks you've gotten lost. But eventually, it catches on and it makes an adjustment. You check out that new thing, and it causes quite a lot of chatter as you get back in the car. One person says, wow, that was so cool. We should try that back home. And another one says, oh no, that was just too crazy. Scary. Not my cup of tea at all. And then another one says, maybe we should just go back home. Well, you decide to keep on going. But you realize that you have a disagreement among the travelers about exactly what the desired destination is. And for that matter, whether to take the scenic route or the direct route. Everyone's getting tired too. Their snacks are gone. The journey is not exactly going as we would have preferred. You encounter some rough roads, more detours, and even some tall mountains. Some of the roads are kind of deserted, and there's not many options for food or rest along the way. And then we run out of gas. So we have to call AAA, and they bring a can of gas. And the irony is, you had money for gas, and you passed a lot of gas stations, but nobody was paying attention to the gas tank. But it was the driver's fault. Are we there yet? We keep hearing that. That's an important question for you. Where is there, anyway? If you could imagine a postcard from McLeod's destination, what would it look like? A postcard. People don't send postcards anymore, do they? But we used to. We'd get along the way and we would stop and we would buy a postcard at the gas station and we would, you know, write, "Wish you were here," and send it on. And it usually was a picture of wherever we were. But when we get to the destination, we find another postcard. We send that along. Most of the time, the postcards arrive after you've gotten back home, but we still did them anyway. And they were a little bit of a diary of our progress. What would your postcard look like for your destination? GPS is a really great tool these days. I find myself having gotten kind of dependent upon it. But I suggest to you that God's GPS has been around forever. It has taken on different forms and often involved a complicated journeying to get to the destination. The wise men, they were searching and finally found the young Jesus. They got out their smartphones and they clicked on the GPS app. It was a star. They indeed took a long and winding road to get to their destination, and they really did not know where it was, other than they would find the child Jesus. They were resolved to seek and worship him. Not to mention King Herod's interruption of their journey, right? That could have been a real roadblock. They could have turned around and gone back. But they plugged along and they had faith that God was directing them. They were steadfast in their determination to find Jesus, but they did have to take a detour to throw Herod off the trail. They followed the star. They were not stargazers. They were star chasers. They didn't just wish on a star. They pursued it. They got to their destination. John the Baptist was a human GPS. He pointed people toward Jesus. He said, "Not me, it's him." He pointed people away from himself. Away from himself. Even in the baptism of the Lord, John was pointing toward the Savior and away from himself. Moses led the people of Israel out of slavery. It's probably the ultimate road trip in the Bible, wouldn't you say? It took them forever. And it was not exactly a long distance either. But there's a reason. God intentionally took them by a circuitous route to finally end up in the promised land. But Scripture acknowledges they were not ready to face the challenges of the more direct route. Do you remember what God's GPS was that guided them during the night? What was it? This is where we have participation. What was it? No, it was a fire. Pillar of fire, right? Daytime was a pillar of cloud. And that was the God's GPS. The star was the wise men. They were guided in a roundabout way through the wilderness to finally reach their destination. God led them in a way they could handle. They just didn't realize it. The roundabout way was indirect, but it represents an important era in the spiritual life of the Israelites when God showed up in very tangible ways and assured them of his presence on the journey, like the cloud during the day and the fire at night. They were visible signs of God's presence. never being far away. The main purpose of this season of journeying was to protect them from challenges they weren't ready to face, and to teach them through experience, day after day, that the presence of God would never leave them. Friends, they were on this journey for 40 years, wandering around. If you've never seen a map of their journey, it would make you laugh because it looks ridiculous. Now, challenges do come, like right now. Somewhere along the way, we encounter our first real obstacle. The Israelites encountered the Red Sea. Now that would stop you. They were convinced God had abandoned them. They experienced real ambivalence about the journey and what it was now requiring of them. Exodus is just full of stories of challenges they faced. And you must remember that every single time they complained to Moses, and every single time Moses cried out to God in intercessory prayer, and every single time God provided precisely what they needed at that specific time. They were originally headed in different directions, or they had different purposes in mind. They felt inadequate for the task. Some of them seemed to have short memories of what had already been done to bless them. They did acknowledge God as Lord of their lives. They made choices to follow. They had faith that God had something in mind for them, and they were going to find it. There was constant travel in the Bible. Few of God's people stayed put. And they walked. They walked. That's a desert. They walked. The journey became important, just as important as the destination. They were not along for the ride. A few months ago, I got to go up to the Parsons Memorial Presbyterian Church in Yankeetown, Florida. It's the northernmost church in the Presbytery of Tampa Bay. It's right on the Gulf next to a Coast Guard station. Well, I had never been there, so I put it in my GPS in the car. It's about 2.5 hours from my house in Winter Haven. Once I get past Tampa, the drive was beautiful up there. It was north of Crystal River. I'm tooling along, and I think I get about a mile from the church. And all of a sudden, in a very loud, unusually loud voice, the GPS says, "Use extreme caution. You are now off the map." What? I'm right on a street, it's paved, you know. You're now off the map. I'm pretty sure I drove through someone's backyard to find a church, but I got there. My GPS alarmed me. It's the only time that's ever happened is going to that church. Friends, you have a destination opportunity here at Memorial Presbyterian Church. May you invite the Holy Spirit to help you discern God's will for this congregation. Take some time to imagine what postcards from your new destination might look like. And for that matter, the postcards from places along the way. Be creative and courageous. I challenge you to pray without ceasing for special discernment as you chart a course. The Presbytery's Commission on Ministry partner, Reverend Kenny Ellis, who's one of the pastors at First Presbyterian in Lakeland, is helping the session of this church discern who God would have become pastor here. It's a process that involves thinking through and praying about God's will. I'm aware that your session is working on a path forward, and I'm providing some support too. Your focus, your amazing focus in this church on shared mission will help you survive those challenges. I stand before you and tell you that not every church in the Presbytery of Tampa Bay has such a strong heart for others as you do. That will hold you together. That will give you strength. It will. I'm telling you, it will. When you lose that, things start to fall away. Don't lose that focus. It will help you survive challenges. It's a good time now also to get over yourself and to point your energy. Praying for the wisdom only God can provide, like being a GPS, like being John the Baptist, pointing toward Jesus, away from yourself. Invite God to throw up dead-end signs. They are a gift, actually. It keeps you from having to journey all the way down a road and discover that it's better to avoid a failure path than to waste time and energy. In fact, watch for signs that say, "You are on the right road." Even if it's off the map. May you be blessed and fruitful in this new time of ministry here in this community of Bartow. Let it be so. Amen. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we know your purpose for us is that we love you and that we love our neighbors. And it seems so simple, and yet it is so challenging. Grant special guidance and blessings to these your people as we seek to follow your lead. Help us along the journey to the destination you would have for McLeod. Amen.